Fourth case for argument this morning is Kukana against Mukasey. Mr. Lang.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Michael Lang, and the reason we're here today is because we are here to review the Board's decision of December 8, 2006, which denied Mr. Kukana an asylum and withholding of removal order.
Mr. Lang, I'm worried about whether we have jurisdiction in this case. One ordinarily says that the Board has discretion whether to grant or deny a motion for reopening, and one would think that would go double for second motions to reopen. As you may be aware, we held a couple of months ago in a case called Ali against Gonzalez that those cases in which the Board has discretion are not within our jurisdiction to review. So is this petition for review within our jurisdiction, given Ali?
We believe so, Your Honor, and we believe so because this is reviewed under an abuse of discretion standard. We believe that...
That's how discretion is usually reviewed. The question I'm asking is whether, given that the Board has discretion, this petition for review is blocked by the provision in 1252A, 2B, and there are too many letters for me even to remember them, that the discretionary decisions by the Board are outside the power of Court of Appeals review.
Well, Your Honor, normally that's true, except when they abuse their discretion.
No, that's the very question that is put off limits by a provision saying, if discretion, then no review. The Real ID Act preserves claims of strictly legal error, but not claims that somebody has abused his discretion. And that I'm kind of surprised that the briefs in this case pay no attention to the fact that that reopening is a discretionary decision, and that there appears to be no legal claim here. There's only a claim of abuse of discretion. And therefore, I will, since both parties have ignored what seems to be a question of our subject matter jurisdiction, I will give both sides 10 days to file supplemental memoranda addressing the question whether, since this is a discretionary issue and there's no claim that this is within the scope of the Real ID Act, whether we have subject matter jurisdiction.
Yes, Your Honor.
You can proceed with the rest of your argument. This is going to be your only crack. If we have jurisdiction, now you can make your argument.
Assuming we do have jurisdiction, we believe that it was, in fact, an abuse of discretion simply because there was no rational basis for the Board's decision. One of the basic tenets of administrative law is that the immigration judges and the Board consider the record as a whole. There are three brief paragraphs from the Board's decision in December 8, 2006, simply mentioning that they relied solely on the State Department reports. This honorable court in the Seventh Circuit has held that State Department reports are to be highly skeptical. They are not to be considered holy writ, and they are considered to be one piece of evidence only. And if, as in this particular case, a highly independent...
One can imagine that State Department reports are just one piece of evidence, but why would one think that conditions have gotten materially worse in Albania? In 2006 was also the year that the stabilization and association agreement between Albania and the European Union was signed. And in 2007, earlier this year, the visa agreement was signed. For most purposes, Albania is now an associated state of the European Union.
That's correct.
And it's under the European Union's guarantees of human rights. And it would be more than a little odd for the United States to say that human rights are not protected in the European Union.
Oh, I agree that in theory they are protected. And that goes to the heart of Dr. Fisher's affidavit that was never addressed by the Board, in that...
No, look, You have to show, before any affidavits get addressed by the board, even if we have subject matter jurisdiction, that the board was legally required to reopen. Now, one thing the board might say is the State Department country report says things are getting better, not worse. The other thing is the European Union obviously believes that things are getting better, not worse. Why is such a belief, in view of the obvious affiliation between Albania and the European Union, an abuse of discretion? Must we assume that the European Union is just trying to fool people like Mr. Kushana?
Well, no, Your Honor, we're not assuming that they're trying to fool people, but they're trying to soft-pedal human rights abuses because the State Department does not want to upset relations with Albania.
I'm not talking about the State Department. I'm talking about the European Union's affiliation agreement.
Well, they have an affiliation agreement, that's correct, but the European Union themselves have stated, and they have issued some of the most critical reports over the years against Albania. We would also respectfully ask this court to take judicial notice of a 2007 State Department report that came out. It was the 2006 report that came out in 2007 that rebuts the 2005 report, stating that, once again, we are back to the old regime of torture and people disappearing.
I've actually read the State Department report. It does not say that. The State Department report says there are no reports of official misconduct related to torture and disappearances, but that there are private feuds that have led to those consequences. One doesn't get asylum from private feuds. One gets asylum from official misconduct. So unless I've completely lost my ability to read, the State Department report does not support your proposition.
I would respectfully go back to the affidavit of Dr. Fisher that stated that was not even allowed to be entered into evidence, that the conditions since the 2005 Democratic Party took over, things have actually gotten worse. Mr. Kuchana and his entire family have been persecuted since 1990. His uncle was murdered, and another uncle that was a rear admiral was also forced to leave the country.
What's your position on this I-130 petition, which you included, I gather, in this reopening, but you didn't say very much about it? In fact, you sort of walked away from it, I thought.
Well, most respectfully, Your Honor, the brief that you have in front of you was drafted by an associate in New York, and I was just hired to make the oral argument here. But I happen to agree with respondent's position that this court does not have jurisdiction for that particular matter to review that de novo, and that we ask that they remand that particular issue back so that they can, in fact, make a determination whether he is available for adjustment of status.
Well, are you asking us to send the case back on that basis? The board, of course, didn't comment on this, and you said it's got no jurisdiction. But I'm asking you is, what is your request of us with respect to this aspect of the case?
Well, the aspect is that we are, in fact, asking you to remand that.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry, we are asking you to remand on that particular issue to determine.
Now I'm totally befuddled. I thought you just said to Judge Cudahy that you agree that there's no jurisdiction to review that question. Then
yes,
how could we be remanding on that question?
Well, no, what I'm trying to say is that there's no jurisdiction to review that de novo. So that, in essence, we're asking you to review that and to remand that so that there can be a full and fair adjudication on that by the board.
Could we ask for comment on that point?
Yes. Well, your memos that are filed in 10 days should address that issue as well.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Ms. DeAngelis.
Good morning. Kate DeAngelis for the Attorney General. The issue before the court today is simple. It's whether the board abused its discretion in denying petitioners second and...
Well, maybe that's an issue. Do you have any comment now on the jurisdictional question, how it is we get to review a decision that both sides frame as one about the exercise of discretion?
Well, I will address that. When we read petitioner's brief, we understood that he was making a legal challenge to the board having not considered all of the evidence before it. So we responded to that. We understood that the petitioner was...
It sounds like something within the scope of the Real ID Act. How the board writes its opinions is not.
Well, you know...
It's a question of law.
You know, assuming jurisdiction for these purposes...
It'll be addressed in 10 days. I have a separate question for you.
Okay.
Why is Mr. Kushane still in the United States? He was ordered removed in 1997, and I gather simply ignored the order. He files a motion to reopen in 1998. It's litigated for a number of years, and he loses before the board in 2002. He is again ordered to leave the United States, and he simply ignores the order. Why is somebody not sent out to pick him up and put him on an airplane?
That's a very good question, Your Honor.
If he is not technically a fugitive, he is certainly a scofflaw.
Yes, and that was actually noted by the immigration judge in her, albeit improper, second decision where she denied his second motion to reopen. And, you know, to that issue, I can't speak on behalf of DHS and their schedule for removing aliens. You know, I can, you know, find out about that, why this particular alien was not removed. But right now, I can't speak to his specific circumstances.
Go ahead.
He apparently slept through his first hearing. His lawyer was present?
Yes, his lawyer was present.
Was there evidence presented, or what happened?
No, there was no evidence presented. However,
in asking for reopening, we're talking about whether the situation has changed, but we didn't ever have any evidence of what the situation was in the first place.
Well, actually, petitioner filed affirmatively for asylum, so he did have a hearing before an asylum officer, and likewise, his information was contained within the record. So, you know, we do have his asylum application in the record. He didn't file a petition for review off of the board's denial of his first motion to reopen his in absentia hearing. So that issue, the whole issue of the in absentia hearing, is not before the court today. The issue before the court is quite narrow. It's whether the board abused its discretion in finding that Mr. Kuchana did not present new, previously unavailable evidence to show that there have been material changes in Albania, which would change his position with respect to his asylum application.
I understand what's before us today, but I'm trying to figure out what the baseline was in the original hearing, and apparently there was no evidence presented at that hearing. So it's a rather odd situation.
It is an odd situation. However, as I mentioned, the asylum application, the affidavits, the statements are contained within the record for comparison purposes, to see the, you know, alleged material change in circumstances in Albania since then. It becomes very clear comparing the earlier allegations with the Fisher report and the more current State Department reports that, as the court has noted, that the situation in Albania has not deteriorated. It's actually gotten better. The Democratic Party is actually, you know, holding the prime ministership in Albania, and it's just unclear also why the Fisher report would have been previously unavailable. Dr. Fisher, you know, in his statement says that he's been an expert on a modern Albanian civilization for 25 years. It seems that statement would have been available earlier. So, you know, there just really isn't any evidence here for the board to have reopened. So it certainly was not an abuse of discretion for them to find that the situation has not changed such that they should review his asylum application. And I would leave the argument at that. If there are no more questions.
Thank you, Ms. DeAngelis.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Lytton?
I just wanted to briefly address why Mr. Cucciana missed the hearing. He had originally shown up for the first hearing. He knew the interpreter, so the judge continued it. The second time, there was a longer hearing in the afternoon that she thought was going to take too much time, so she asked him to come back on the third time. He had submitted an affidavit. He had worked about almost a month of 12 to 14-hour shifts. And the morning he overslept, he was called three times by his attorney, and he showed up about an hour and a half late, and it was already too late. So I just wanted to clarify the record on that.
Well, is there any evidence of what the situation in Albania was in 1997?
Well, yes, Your Honor, there's some evidence that after there were a myriad of pyramid schemes and the banking industry failed, there were riots, prisoners were let out of...
No, but I mean, is that in the record of his...
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah, I knew about that, or I'd heard about it. All right.
I think I'm out of time, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The case is taken under advisement.